Okay, picking up here in Siman Reish Mem Dalid. Ezem Lachos Yochel Inihudi Lasos Ba'ad Yisrael. So the Mechaber tells us, Posek Adam, the first thing you can ask, Eino Yehudi, Al Malacha Bekotis Damim Eino Yehudi Osu La'atzma. So there's a concept in Halacha of a Kablan. A Kablan means that you're asking a non-Jew or any person to do a certain work, and they're doing it on their own time. You're not paying them by the hour, necessarily. You're paying them for the job. So if you send your clothes to the cleaners, you're not paying him by the hour. You're paying him to clean the clothing. You send your car to the mechanic, you're paying him to clean, to fix the car. Now, sometimes he'll evaluate the price by the hour. The mechanic might say, listen, it took me 6 hours to fix this, so I'm going to charge you X. But fundamentally, he's being paid for the job. So halacha is, if you have a non-Jew work on Shabbos, the kavlanos, it's not your issue because he's doing it for his adat and nafshe. Whereas if you're paying him by the hour, he works for you in the house, so you're paying him by the hour, so then he's really like your shaliach, if you will. And therefore it's asur for him to do malacha. So Mechaber tells us, posek Adam, Pirshmasna im inu Yehudi al malacha, bakotis dam vi inu Yehudi osel atzma. This is only true if it's done privately. Because people don't know, you know, your car is in the by the mechanic, and they don't know that it's a Jewish. They don't know that you are the Jewish owner of the car. If you have a unique car, it has your name on it, Mr. Goldberg's truck. So then the mechanic is fixing it. If he's fixing it, let's say, on the street, then it looks weird, because somebody might think that you hired him as a laborer, as a sachir. And then it's Marisayim. Sharoa eina Yehudi osek v'eina Yehudea shekotzes. V'omer ploni sachar eina Yehudi lasus v'malacha b'shabbos. This is actually unique. Usually we don't say there's Marisayim by Dindra Rabbanan. This is like a Mir Lakos Dindra Rabbanan. Here we're saying there's Marisayim on Dindra Rabbanan. We're concerned that the person looking is going to think that you hired him in an asr way, and really you hired him in a mutter way. He's a kaplan, he's not a skivyon. But it seems like this isr is a very unique isr, and we're concerned about it, and therefore we asr it. Lefikach aposek im eina Yehudi livnos lo chasero akosalo oliksor sadeyu. So if you have a guy who's going to be a builder, he's going to build your wall in your backyard, or he's going to cut your wheat in your field. If it's people or Jews are around, people are not going to be clear. They're going to think maybe this person's not a kavlan, maybe he's a skiryon. Says the Ramah. Even if you're living alone, we'll worry maybe some Jewish guests will come. But if it's a place where there are no other Jews, there's no Marizayin if there's nobody around. If a non-Jew is going to take your animals and put them into the field, and when the animals in the field are going to make and it's going to fertilize your field, that's discussed later on in Siman Tavkuf Lamed Zayin. Okay, so just by way of introduction, we mentioned there's two concepts. There's a concept of kablanos, which is aldas atzma. There's a concept of skiryom, which is aser, because it looks like the guy is doing it, because it looks like you told him to do it. I should mention that even kablanos, we say it's mutter for the mechanic to fix your car. You can't tell him to fix it on Shabbos. You can give it to him on Friday, and he'll fix it on Shabbos. You can't tell him explicitly. And here comes the question, what about giving it to him in 10 minutes before Shabbos? And you tell him, listen, I want it ready, must say Shabbos. So you're essentially telling him to do it on Shabbos. If there's not enough time for him to do it in the weekday, then you're essentially telling him to do it on Shabbos. It's Asr. And there's a machlokas, what's the din if you tell him I want it Monday morning? Now he could come in on Sunday. He usually doesn't come on Sunday. Let's say in America people don't work on Sunday. So do we say that since he could come, it's a death of nafshe? He'll do it on Shabbos, it's a death of nafshe. He said, no. Everybody knows the store is closed on Sunday. So Mela, it's like So if you tell them I want it Tuesday, that's for sure okay, because there's time. But if you give it Friday, say you want it Monday, so there are those who are machmir, some are mekel, and they say that no, at the end of the day, he could fix it on Sunday, even though we know he's not going to. Yesh al milizmach if it's the shas adcha.
Is this the same standard that we use for for lifnei iver? That if a person would not have an opportunity to do it.
But lifnei iver, there's lifnei iver which is a din doraisa, if he can't do it without you, and then there's known as mesayeya, where he could do it without you, but you're still helping him do lavera. That's a din derabanan. You shouldn't mesayeya. I think it's a little bit of a different get there. It's parallel in that, you know, we say, listen, this person could do the malach on a weekday, so I'm not asking him to do it on Shabbos. It's a parallel idea, but it's not really the same. It's a separate idea. In any case, we have over here, like I said, the concept of kavlanos, which is mutter. But even if it's mutter, you can't tell him explicitly to do malach on Shabbos. And likewise, we have the din drabanan of marisayin, that kaplanos that looks like skiros is asur, if it indeed looks like skiros. Okay. So in terms of sif aleph, the Mechaber gives a heter of chutz l'tchum, that if the kaplanos is outside the tchum, it's not a problem. So if you have a contractor who's building a house, but there are no Jews there. You've got a country house in the middle of nowhere. So then it's not a problem because it's not known that it's yours, and therefore it'd be mutter. That's the pashtus. The problem is the Mechaber doesn't sound like it. The Mechaber says that. Sorry. Yimuter v'chutz l'tchum. Yimuter v'chutz l'tchum. But if b'toch l'tchum, it's aser. It's aser. Now the big question here is: what about malachos that nobody hires a day worker to do? Meaning, here in Israel, kaplanim. They're called kaplanim. Why are they called kaplanim? People who do repair, renovations. Why are they called kaplanim? How do they work?
For the job.
They do it for the job. You can't hire a guy to do shiputzim in your house, on an hourly basis. It doesn't really exist. So if that's the case, can you argue that you can tell, the non-Jewish kaplan to work, to build a house, on Shabbos? Because he's doing it. He just wants to be finished with it. So the folks are very reluctant to allow this for a number of reasons. First of all, even if generally the people who own the homes don't hire the workers on a daily basis, the kaplan himself has workers. His workers sometimes he hires on a daily basis. He's doing a big job, he needs extra worker, pay the guy for the day. He's not going to always have six workers. Depends what type of job he has. He has a small job, he'll only have two workers. He has a big job, he'll have six workers. So maybe there's a concern of Farisayin that maybe I, the Jewish landowner, supplied the Sechir Yoms. Also, there's a concept of zilus of the Shabbat that we don't mezalzel and cover Shabbos. It seems like in the background of this whole discussion. But b'shas adchak, when there's certain natural disasters, the post can speak about a situation where the whole city burnt down, and nobody has a place to live. It's middle of the winter, so we need to rebuild the houses. So if it's done as a tzibur, there's no chshad. Maybe the chshad is that I, as an individual, have a sechir yom. But if the mayor, the rav of the city, signed that you make achraza, we're going to rebuild the city with non-Jewish workers, they're not poalim, they're not sechir yom, they're kaplanim, they're getting paid for the job, then we mutter. So even though the mechaber, some want to say it's doing the mechaber that way, because the mechaber says mipnei sharoim einam yodim shapasak. So if there's no other option, everybody knows the kaplan is a kaplan. So maybe that would be mutter. And sometimes b'shas adchak, people rely on this, and they allow instruction on Shabbos. There's specific discussions about, Chilul Hashem. Maybe building a shul is more of a need. Maybe there's more of a Chilul Hashem that people are going to say the shul was built on Shabbos. So, how do you weigh those various needs? You need a place to daven. Same time, there may be more of a Chilul Hashem involved. It's interesting, Derech Agav, that the Ramah here says, if you afil dar bein einem Yehudim. If you live among Goyim, yesh li'achush to orchim. We're worried the orchim are going to see that there is somebody working. They're going to think marizayin. The problem is that in the previous siman, if you recall, the Rama said explicitly at the very end in Sif Beis and Reish Mem Gimel that im yesh merchas v'bayis dira. In Roxim Merchas Rak Osan Shabesov and Yodim Shuskara in a Yehudi Shari. So if you rent out your Merchats to a Goy, generally it's asur for them to keep it open because people didn't generally rent out Merchatzos. They usually hired workers to work in them. But if you rented it out and it's private, it's in your house, it's like in your basement, then it's mutter because the people in your house know that you rented it out. It's not you who's hiring the guy. You rented it out, he's doing it at Nafshe. Problem is here, the Rama says, you know, one seven later, that Yesh Lachos L'Orchem Abayim. Here we're concerned about visitors and guests, and they're not going to know. And he says, even the B'nai B'ayis aren't going to know. So it's a bit odd what exactly changed. It could be there, since the guy rented out the whole store, so mainly rented out the whole store, so we say that it's Daita Nafshe. Here, it's more similar to a kavlan. You have a kavlan, and it looks like a sachir. It looks like a sachir yom. So mainly, we're more cautious. The way you pay a sachir, the way you pay the kavlan is exactly the same. In that case, he rented out, he's getting all the money. You rented out to him, it's his. He gets all the money. You just get the rent. Here, you're paying the fellow. Are you paying him as a kavlan, paying the sachir? It looks the same. Same $100 is transferring. You know, when you have a worker, you pay him $100 at the end of the day, regardless if you paid him by the hour or paid him by the job. You know, one person can work $10 an hour for 10 hours. Another person works for the job, $100 for the job. So it looks exactly the same. So it looks exactly the same. We're more concerned. Maybe that's pshat. That's some achronim suggest. This issue is very relevant. Halacha l'maisa. People have gardens in front of their house. So where I grew up, the Italians were very involved in gardening, and they would come and they would fix up the garden. They work as kablam. You don't pay them by the hour. Every month you give them $500. They come, you know, mow the lawn, plant the flowers, whatever they have to do. In fact, where I come from, it's cold half the year in Montreal. So half the year they're gardeners, half the year they are snow removal, the same people. Are you allowed to have the gardener come on Shabbos? You have to tell him, don't come on Saturday? He's not going to want it. He wants to come when it's convenient for him. When he has other people in the same neighborhood, he doesn't want to make a special trip. So are you allowed to let him work in your house, on your garden on Shabbos? Here you have a kavlan working in front of your house on Shabbos. Is that mutter? So the pashtus of the mechavi here is that it should be usur. It's avodas karka. And people might think that you hired him as a sechir yom. Thing is, I don't think anybody hires them as schir yom. Meaning, you could argue that nobody, they all get paid by the month for the job. They don't get paid by the hour. Really, you should tell them not to come on Shabbos. That's the pashtus. But first of all, you told them and he came. You don't have to send them away because you tried to avoid it. You know, there are some people don't tell him not to come on Shabbos. Let's say you tell him, he said, no, I'm not going to work for you. I can't come on Shabbos. I'm not going to work for you. So you have to find a different person. So is it sad to say that it's mutter because everybody knows that he's a kavlan? And maybe there's no zilus of the Shabbos because it's not in your house, it's only outside your house, and everybody knows it's a guy. You could argue it depends what he's doing. He's mowing the lawn, makes a lot of noise. But so some people are very concerned about this, and I think the minhag olam is to be megil. I think that there's a minhag, again, I'm not so 100% clear on why it's mutter, but I think that maybe the svar lahatir is that since everybody knows it's a kavlan, and he won't work otherwise. You need somebody, cleaning the snow is even worse. You need somebody to clean the snow. If you don't clean the snow, you can't leave your house. So what are you going to do? So it's not so pashut. It's probably better. You could say, by cleaning the snow, you know, he could do it with a shovel. So, okay, is that really true? It depends how much he has to clean. Is it really possible he can do it with a shovel? Maybe he needs his truck. And even if he could do it with a shovel, if there's no Eruv, it's still Aser. So if there's an Eruv and he could do it with a shovel, so it's fair to say, I heard him clean the snow, and he wanted to use his truck. So then it fashions his mutter. But if he can't, it's hard to know. So maybe if you as well say it's dangerous, you have to get out of your house. You know, in Montreal, they're like, you know, 3 feet of snow. You know, if you don't have to clean snow, you can't get out of your house. So I'm not sure. I'm not 100% sure what the heter is. But maybe the svara is that everybody knows he's a kablon, and they won't even work b'schiras. I don't know if that's really true. I do remember that one time when I was a kid, the snow person didn't come. So we were very concerned. Well, he didn't come. He didn't show up. So my father saw one of the neighbors had a different worker cleaning. My father went outside with a $20 bill. He said, maybe you'll... It wasn't Shabbos. It was a weekday. Maybe you'll clean our... Because for him, it's 1 minute of work. He has a truck. He just plows the thing. He says, you're not my client. I don't work for other... He wouldn't work as a skiryon. He was said, I only work for... You know, he wanted his business. Okay, it was a little bit mean, I guess. Very mean. You're stuck at home. You can't go to work. You can't take your car out of the garage. So anyway, maybe that's as far as the hot air. I'm not 100% clear on this. But this issue comes up a lot. This issue comes up, you want to get a package. So if the mailman comes, so he comes, he brings the mail. Everybody knows he's coming. He's a kavlan. He's not working for you by the hour. He's working for the Medina. That's not your issue. But let's say you want to order something on Amazon. So, to order it to come on Shabbos is for sure aser, because to order it to come on Shabbos, you're telling the kavlan to do vlach on Shabbos. The kavlan is only mutter, like I said before. You can give the car to the mechanic, you can fix it when he wants. You can't tell him to fix it on Shabbos. So to tell the Amazon delivery to have a delivery on Shabbos, that is for sure aser. But sometimes some want to argue that you don't tell him to come on Shabbos. It says it's going to come by Saturday. I ordered Thursday. It could come on Friday. You know, you don't know when it's going to come. So some want to say that in that case, since it's just going to come by Shabbos, again, I'm not so familiar with how Amazon works. I guess you have different choices. It's come by, it's come on. So if it's come on, that would be aser. To come by, so some want to say it's mutter because it could come earlier.
What about the potential for delays?
Right, so you don't always know when it's going to come. If you're going to come, it's going to come within the next 4 days. So it's Thursday. So then, Lachara, I don't think you're mechuyev not to get it. It could come on Shabbos. It might not come on Shabbos. He's a kavlan. I think people also know that you didn't... I mean, I'm not really sure in terms of Mar Zayin. Maybe you did a 24-hour delivery and you wanted to come on Shabbos. So it has to be choshesh that your neighbors are going to think you ordered a daf on Shabbos. So, no, you ordered it for the next few days and it happened to be it came on Shabbos, so maybe they'll dine in kaf schos. But Lachara, the whole din of Mar Zayin, that we have to be concerned that people are going to think you're doing an iser. So I'm not sure if we're really concerned about that, then it would be a real problem. Because you can't even order it to come with the next 4 days, because people are going to think, if it comes on Shabbos, they're going to think you ordered it on Shabbos, so it'll be my sign. I don't think people are choshish for that. I'm not 100% sure why. As you see, the mitzias and the halacha doesn't always fit here. You know, it's a little hard to square everything. But these are issues that come up. The postgame already talked about garbage collection. The authorities, the government, municipality arranges for garbage collection. So they arrange for Saturday garbage collection. So is it my problem? Let's say it's no Eruv. So he's going to take the can, there's Havara, Dalet Amos, which is a Ravim, whatever. So is that my problem? So the post going to make a about that. So it seems like this is just part of the extension, although garbage collection is more of a tzarakadol than getting a package. But I think certainly it would be wrong to order the package to come on Shabbos. I think the Minhag Olam is to be makel to have the package come, if it could come, before Shabbos or after Shabbos. And if it comes on Shabbos, it's not the end of the world. Obviously, you can't sign for it. You know, you can't... the folks can say you shouldn't even pick it up. You should let the guy put it down and until afterwards.
What about like kicking it into your house?
In terms of what you're worried is going to steal it. So yeah. They put it out your front door... and your porch, and you're worried someone's going to steal it,
yeah.
Is a muksa.
Does that contribute to the Mar, or I guess muksa, but also does it contribute to the Marat Zayin, so if I'm taking it in or leaving it out?
I don't think that contributes to Marat Zayin. You didn't order it to come on Shabbos, it came. You don't want somebody to steal it, so you're allowed to kick it into your house, I would assume. The discussion is it muksa, it came from Kosot Chom, all these discussions, these are big issues. I think the minhag is saying to kick it into your house, I think.
It's probably just,
I think I have to work out exactly why, but I think that's forbidden. Okay. Fine. Sif Beis, the Chavar tells us, Lifsa ka'avanim ulusakin akoros, afilu v'ezesh l'ani yehudi osur. the din of aris ayin doesn't only apply when he's working in your house, but even if he's working in his house, if he's working on things that are going to go into your house, let's say you're having a guy make you tiles, so he's making tiles that are going to be put into your house. That's a chumrah. So if it's not known that he's doing it for you, it's mutter. The Mishmura points out this, the Mechaber is really just a chumrah. The Mikra didn't we hold like the kolbo, that even if it's going to be chumrah after, right now it's not chumrah, and therefore if it's not mufursam, it's not aser. And the Mishmura also points out this whole discussion is that you own the avanim already, meaning I have it, it's my evan, and I give it to a guy to fashion. But if he's making it from his materials and he's going to sell it to me, then it's not mine at all. It's not my problem if a guy makes something on Shabbos and then sells it to me. He can make it when he wants. Even if he's planning on selling it to me, it's not mine yet, and therefore there's no iser in that case. But the Mishra points out that it's not good if it's going to be sitting next door to your house, meaning, you know, if you're doing a shiputz and next door the guy is making the tiles. It's not relevant. Nobody makes tiles. Everybody orders tiles. But it's the same idea. You shouldn't deliver the tiles, you know, on Shabbos and put them at your doorstep. It's not. It's passing it, you know, at the very least. Okay. These are pretty complicated halachas, so there's certainly more to discuss, but I think we got all that's the direction. The Mechaber continues, in Gam im banu enem Yehuda Yisrael bayis b'Shabbos b'Isser nochen l'hachmer shal ikansu ba. Wow, a guy builds a house b'Isser, he shouldn't go into the house. U'miru im hisna im eni Yehudi shal asas v'lacha v'eni Yehudi asa b'alkorcho. If you told the contractor not to come on Shabbos, he came anyway, ein lachosh, then it's mutter. This issue came up when they built a train here in Eretz Yisrael. They built a train from Yerushalayim to Tel Aviv, very convenient. So they built it on Shabbos. Not only on Shabbos, but also on Shabbos. There was a question, are you allowed to use the train? It says here in the Mechaber that if you build a house on Shabbos, you shouldn't go into the house. So the poskim here on the Shulchan Aruch discuss what's the case here. Was this done the kablanus, where it's really mutter mi'ikra din, and it's just a chumra als maris ayin, a chumra meaning it's a iser drabban als maris ayin, or is it done mischir yom, where it's asr mi'ikra din? So Mishmura says it's that if it was done the kablanus, then certainly be the evidence mutter. So I don't know how they built the train. I assume that the person, there was a kablan getting paid for the job. He probably subcontract. Usually what's done is that you have, like I said before, you have a contractor, and then he hires people and pays them sometimes by the day. But the Mishmura says that in the end that even if it was a schir yom, there's room to be mekel. So
why would the train be halachically different than a highway or anything that's built in Israel?
Most things built in Israel are built on Shabbos.
Really?
Yeah. Most of the Medinat Israel keeps Shabbos. The reason they got a special heter, in order to actually violate Shabbos here, for the government to violate Shabbos, you need a special heter. So there's a heter for Koch Nefesh. The army uses that all the time. That's a mitzvah, Mechal Shabbos for Koch Nefesh. Then occasionally they get a heter that it's going to be like a tremendous hefzeh. It's going to be some type of. So they do all day going. So the Chevrat Chashmal has to bring huge cranes. They're going to clog up all the streets. So on Shabbos, the streets are empty for the most part. Meaning, not empty, but there's no people going to work. So they want to transport certain items on Shabbos. They go in, so you get a hat there from the Misra'ara Tachbura, whatever it is. And it's basically al pi halacha. That certain things for Tzarchi Rabim or Mutra they go. That's din in Shulchan Aruch.
The case of the city that needs to be rebuilt.
Yeah, exactly. It's based on those dinim. So here, the Chevrat Tachbura, whatever Misra Tachbura, thought that building the train, certain things, so the things that were done on Shabbos were things that were going to disrupt the regular traffic. So in the middle of Tel Aviv, I need to put the train tracks, so during the week it's going to clog up the whole city. So the Dafka on Shabbos, there's less traffic. Even in Tel Aviv, there's less traffic on Shabbos, meaning because people aren't working. Meaning, I don't know, in terms of, and also many people are Shomer Shabbos, you know. So they got a hat there, but a lot of Rabbanim didn't hold of it. They held that this wasn't really legit, meaning that's part of the question. When you have a hat there, you know, who gives the hat there? Careful all there, meaning some of these people deciding this aren't necessarily from themselves, so like for them they might be more willing to be makel. So the question came up, and it says here in the Shabura that you should wait Kadesh Yasu. You don't want to benefit from Techilas Shabbos. So it took them a year to build the train. They worked in 50 Shabboses, 54 or whatever. So you shouldn't use a train until 54 days after it starts functioning. That was the psak that was given. And then Kadesh Yasu was absolutely necessary, probably not, because I don't know how many Shabboses they worked actually, but they did do some Shabboses. But you could say the whole head, you could say Al Pitin, it was much. Anyway, and there's always a concern, was it really only Goyim? Maybe there were some Jews there. Did they check? You know, it could be that the workers were Goyim, but the people in charge, the managers, were Jews, and they're Mechal Shabbos. So I think we assume in the end, even if the Jews are Mechal Shabbos, it's the same halacha would apply, that we would be able to benefit after. Maybe they themselves would have a problem. If the Jewish, you know, worker was Chozer B'Tshuva, then he would have a Shaila. Maybe it would be us for him to drive the train. Because the halachas v'hilchos Shabbos is the distinction between lo and acherim, that the person who's called Shabbos amazed, it's also forever. So it can sign that if the Jew is called Shabbos, then he was close to Rechuvah, he also wanted to drive a train. No, we try to find him a kula, because it would be a hard cover to live with. But okay. But
use that way of hesitating Isser in any other instances?
Acherim and lo?
No. The
amount of days of Shabbos that they broke? The concept of Kadesh Yasu exists in Hilchos Shabbos, meaning when a goy does malach on Shabbos, we give you a knas of Kadesh Yasu. Why is there a knas of Kadesh Yasu? We don't want a Jew to ask a goy to malach, so he'll be ready right after Shabbos. So we say, oh, you ask him. So we make you wait the amount of time it took to do the malacha, so in order you shouldn't come to ask him to do it, he'll be ready right after Shabbos. So that concept applies here as well. And that's how we resolve this issue. Okay. It's very hard. Shabbos in a world that's working 24/7 is very hard because there's so many things going on. How do you not benefit from? It's not pashut. There are different masulei hashka'a here in Israel. If you have a pension or you have any money you want to invest, you can invest it in a regular stock market. And then the question becomes, are you investing in Hillel Shabbos? I invested money in the hotel industry. The hotel industry is open on Shabbos. I don't want to benefit from Hillel Shabbos. So they have Maslulim of Maslul Halacha. The firm will say, we're going to invest your money in no Hillel Shabbos. But they found that it's very, very hard to find investments that have no Hillel Shabbos. Because even especially if you're machmir for things that are connected to even if my I don't know if you ever noticed like a toilet paper, it says B'lich Shash Chil Shabbos. The reason it says that is because there were factories that were open on Shabbos, so you don't want to get toilet paper that has Chil Shabbos. So even if your office is closed on Shabbos, are you benefiting indirectly from other things that are being offered on Shabbos, that are being produced on Shabbos, etc.? So if you invest in Chutz Laretz, it's Rav Goyim, you don't have to be concerned about it. But obviously, it's good to have some foreign investment. It's also good to have local investment. And this is a big issue for people who are... the issue with Mahadrin Hashka'ah, it's also a question of ribis. Are you careful to make sure there's a heter iska always? All the banks have a heter iska, but not every other financial institution has a heter iska. So if you have Mahadrin Maslul, you'll make sure there's a heter iska and the like. Okay. Fine. This is also a big issue with chashmal on Shabbos, just for the record. Meaning, in some neighborhoods in Yerushalayim, Friday afternoon they turn off the electricity and everything is run on a generator because they don't want to benefit from the chashmal that's being produced by the Chevrat Chashmal. A few years ago, the Chevrat Chashmal decided they wanted to have only goyim working there, and that's what they claim happens. but it's unclear if it always happens, and some people don't trust them, and this and that. They're still your generators. The government's very unhappy with the generators because the generators are dangerous because they're not always, you know, in terms of the actual safety and security regulations. They're always, so there is a whole discussion about is it necessary. The Minhag HaOlam is to be made because even if there are in chashmal, let's say Jews are making the chashmal, where is the chashmal going? It's going to the hospitals, it's going to the army. So it could be once they're doing malacha for pikuach nefesh, so we can also benefit on the side. So that's the discussion: is that allowed? Is that not allowed? And then there's a question: let's say there was a power outage. So that power is out for if there's a storm, the power is out for half an hour. Then the power goes on. How did it go on? Sometimes somebody fixed the cable. Sometimes, you know, it means that. And so are you allowed to benefit from the, even if you hold that the chashmal is running and really there's no, there are minimal things going on, somebody went and fixed the cable. So it could have been a Jew. Or even if it was a goy, is it mutter for you to benefit in that case when he did it for you? So here too, there's a svar to say that, you know, the mistoma, there's some yid in your neighborhood on a machine that's giving him oxygen. And without the electricity, he would die. So it's pikuach nefesh for him. Or some of there's a, it's not so clear. It's not so glat. I mean, most hospitals, all hospitals have generators. So when there's a power outage, the patients don't die. It goes straight to the generator. So okay, you can't run a generator for so long. So you have to fix it because otherwise, maybe what happens is the generator goes out, then people are going to die. People are on the machines, you know. So these are interesting discussions. And then the Minhag HaOlam in the modern Welt is to rely on the electricity of the Medina. And in some parts of the Haredi Welt, not every part, but some parts of the Chazanishnikim, you know, are very careful to turn off electricity, and they use only generator electricity on Shabbos. But this touches on this, all these issues. Fine. The Mechaber tells us here in Siv Dalid, Melechas Vehesi, Afilu Ventatlin, Kukon Spina, Yidur, Yisrael, Dina, Kuma, Melechas Vehobar. So we said that a Kabbalim is allowed to work on Shabbos. He can do Melecha. But if he does it in Mechobar, there's Mar Zayin. You can't do it in your house. And then the Mechaber tells us if he's doing it in a Metatlin that's known, it's yours. It's, like I said, it says on the car, this is Mr. Goldberg's truck. So he's a Kabbalim. If he's fixing your car, and everybody sees he's fixing your car, then it looks like you told the Kabbalim, the mechanic, to fix your car on Shabbos, and therefore it's Mar Zayin. Now, here too, again, I wonder if it's really true. Meaning, do any mechanics work by the hour? I think everybody works by the job, as far as I know. So you could argue that there really is no Mar Zayin. Some want to say that the chashash is not chashash, that you're going to think you did it through a schir yom, but it's a chashash Hashem yischalef, that by mistake I'll then hire people by mistake, you know. So if that's a chashash, then it would apply. I'm not 100% sure. It's an issue with the cleaner. Send your clothes to the cleaners. Let's say he's cleaning your talus, you know, on Shabbos. So, you know, everybody sees it's a glass window and he's cleaning your talus on Shabbos. Is that a problem? Marisain, you don't know whose talus it is. It's just a talus. So the Marisain has to be connected to a person. It's hard to imagine there's Marisain in general Marisain. So Lechara it's mutter. But there's a discussion about that as well. Okay. This issue is very relevant, halacha lemaisa, when it comes to help. People have maids, and they have live-in help. So you hire, you're making a kiddush, so you hire Christine, your next-door neighbor, to come and help you with the setup of the kiddush. So is that a problem? What can she do? Can she turn on the lights? Can she wash the dishes with hot water? And like, so it seems like if you're paying her by the hour, she's a schir yom. So you're not allowed to have her do malacha for you. You're not allowed to do malacha for you because it looks like you commanded her. Meaning, even if you certainly can't tell her to turn on the lights, but you shouldn't even let her turn on the lights because it looks like you told her to turn on the lights. But if you tell her to do something that's mutter, tell her to wash the dishes. So she can wash the dishes with hot water because that's a dekta de nafshe. meaning, or she can even turn on the lights to wash the dishes because it makes it easier for her to wash the dishes. So basically, you're not allowed to tell her to do malacha. And you can't even let her do malacha unless it's considered a daita nafshe. When is that daita nafshe? You told her to do something that's mutter. You told her to wash the floor. Now she's going to take a squeegee and wash the floor with schita, but that's her issue. You can wash the floor beheter, or you can wash the floor beisser. It's not your problem if she washes it beisser, even if she's a schiryom, because she's not. It's not considered kishlucha. That's what the folks can say. It's not 100% clear for me why it's so, but that's what the folks want to say. And they want to say a bigger chiddush. They want to say that if you have a live-in help in America, people have live-in help. It's not something that's recommended. It causes a lot of tzaras. And small-time tzaras, like Bishul Akum, and sometimes like Arayas, and like big-time tzaras, people are living in your house. It's not recommended. But sometimes you don't have a choice. You have elderly parents. You need a live-in. You can't take care of them yourself, so you need somebody to help you to live. So you have a live-in. You make sure that they don't mess with the kitchen, and you try to keep your distance, you know, in terms of other aspects, yichud and the like. But sometimes you don't have a choice. Now the question is, can the live-in help turn on the light? So if they're turning on the light for themselves, so first of all, how do you define live-in help? Do you define them as a sachir or as a kavla? So I would have thought that they're a sachir. They just, instead of paying them for the hour, you let them sleep. But a lot of the post-game assume that's not the case, that they're a kavla. You're paying them to take care of your elderly parents. You're paying them that's why you're paying them. It's not really a sachir, it's more of a kavla. So once it's more of a kavlin, so then it's already more kav. Because kavlin really, mikra is allowed to do malacha. It's just a din of maris ayin that maybe it's nischalef with a schiryom. So if they want to do their own, they want to watch TV, and they want to, you know, usually have their own room, let them do what they want. In terms of having them do malacha for you, so to have a schiryom do a chana, to wash the dishes, let's say, after... You're going out to shul for shal shuddah. So you ate lunch. Now you want to wash. You have to go and wash the dishes. It's a chana. You can't wash the dishes. You can't tell the go to wash the dishes. So a schiryom, you can't let them do that. But a kavlan, you're allowed to. It's not clear to me why. Why aren't we concerned that maybe it's shemi yischalef? But apparently it's not shemi yischalef because they do it all the time. It's not. It's like it's not going to be yischalef. I don't know. This is supposed to say. They say you're allowed to have your living help do a chana. You're allowed to have your live-in help do things that... Instead of washing dishes, you tell them, listen, you can wash dishes Saturday night, but if you want to go to the movie Saturday night, wash them now. So we consider it as if they're washing dishes Daita Nafshe. Basically, when you have a kavlan and you're living in your house, you tell them that you don't need to do it on Shabbos, but you're allowed to. And then they can choose to do it, and we're not concerned, apparently, for Maris Ayin in this case. I'm not 100% clear why, like I said. Apparently, that since something that they do all the time, we're not concerned you told them to do it specifically, and that's what the post can allow. I saw this in Rav Simcha Bunim Cohen Sefer, and he quotes from Moshe Feinstein that it's considered a kavlan and it's mutter. I'm not 100% clear why it's the case. Like I said, I have an issue with klal. I don't think it's good to have the help, but sometimes you have no choice. Sometimes it's necessary. If it's necessary, then you might as well have them do things for you. And he says it's mutter for them to do malacha, because it's considered a daita nafshe, and he's not concerned about marizai. But usually people don't have living help. Usually you hire somebody to come and help you by the hour. So if you, in that case, you certainly can't have them do an iser. You can have them do a dvar heter. If they choose to do a p'iser, then it's mutter. So I can tell them to wash the dishes. And even then, some people are concerned of avshamil, some people are concerned you can certainly let them wash the dishes with hot water. Can they run the washing machine, the dishwasher? Certainly can't run a washing machine, because washing machines also wash clothes and Shabbos. But you're allowed to wash dishes, so they can use hot water. Can they also use the dishwasher? So some people are concerned that it makes a lot of noise. It seems like the minhag is not to be concerned about this. Many people have their dishwasher on timers. Rav Moshe Weizen was very concerned about this. He thought that you shouldn't have anything on timers except for lights. It makes noise. It takes away from Kabbal Shabbos. I think the minhag olam is to be makel with it. Certainly in big institutions, it'd be very hard to have workers washing all the dishes in the yeshiva. So they have the goyim wash the dishes. Here in Eretz Yisrael, often they put the dishwasher on a timer. So a goy isn't worse than a timer. If we allow a timer, so we allow a goy as well. It seems like the medics are make up with this, although some poskim are concerned about this. What about getting the newspaper delivered on Shabbos? So I'm assuming you're allowed to read newspapers. But the people, when I grew up, you would get the, you know, the Gazette in Montreal or the New York Times, if you live in New York, delivered on Shabbos. So you're essentially asking the guy to bring you the paper. So he's a kavlan, but l'chora, you don't have to ask him to do it on Shabbos. Just like I said before, you can't ask the Amazon to bring you the package on Shabbos. If he does, he does. But here, you're asking him to deliver. They're not going to bring you Saturday's paper on Sunday. So
you have a yearly subscription, but Michal Linda has 52 Saturdays.
Right, but your yearly subscription, l'chora, says, so if says you're asking to bring it every day, including, so every Saturday, ask you to bring it. So what if you tell them, don't bring it on Saturday? So if they say fine and they bring it, that's not a problem. But they'll probably tell you, no, we can't do that, sir. We have to, it's too complicated. So some folks will say, it's us or no, or have that subscription. Minhag olam z'meikel, Benny from Yidin got the newspaper delivered. There are other problems, like I said, the content is one problem, but also the Nolad issues. It's usually printed on Saturday and Friday night. It's printed on Shabbos. So is that sort of Nolad? It's a Tchum problem. You know, lots of problems that come up. People don't think about it so much. They just get the newspaper. They don't listen to the radio. They're Shomer Shabbos. They don't open the television. They read the newspaper. How pashut is that? It's not pashut at all. Here, in terms of Amir L'Agum, so the subscription itself might be a violation of Amir L'Agum. I'm not sure what the heter is. I mean, some of there is a heter. There are people who are mekel. I just don't understand the svara l'hater.
To have a subscription at all, or to read the Saturday?
I mean, you could say what you were saying. Saying though, I'm really getting a weekday. Meaning, it's not true. There's usually different fees. They're different amounts. I think you probably pay X for a weekday. And so what about, I want a weekend subscription. So Saturday, Sunday. I only want the Sunday. Oh, you're going to bring the Saturday? I only want Sunday. They won't do it for you. So you tell the guy on the phone, listen, buddy, I don't want the Saturday. Oh, we'll give it to you, throw it in. So maybe that's the story. That he's doing it really, that's an option. It's just too complicated for them. You really only want the Sunday. If you're willing to pay more for the Sunday, but you don't want the Saturday, I don't know, it's hard to imagine that's mutter, because Lemaisa, he's telling you that he's going to deliver it on Shabbos. So you say, I don't want it. So Shkoyach, you don't want it, but Lemaisa, you're telling him to do it, because he's not going to not come on Shabbos. If you get a subscription, he'll come on Shabbos. So I'm not 100% clear what the heter is. Like I said, Mistama, if people do it, there's probably a heter for it. I mean, I think it's the general philosophy of halacha, that if whole communities do things, you have to have a chiyuv to try to justify it. Again, certain things you can't justify. But until we go through the sugya and we try to find the heter for it, but I'm not sure what it is, so I wouldn't recommend doing it until you work out the sugya and figure out the heter. I haven't done that yet. Okay. Fighter. Hey. So if I hire a guy to make a garment for me, before the Industrial Revolution, to make a garment took like months, if not years. You know, so now we have machines, so 1, 2, 3, we can. But you're hiring a guy to make a garment for you. So it's going to take him weeks, so he can work on Shabbos. Okay. He can't do it in your house. Some say it's Aser. So this is the issue with the living maid, that some want to say the living maid is like this Ramah, that since you're renting them for everything, so then it's Aser. But the poskim say that's not true, that a living maid today isn't a shivcha. She's not mom. She has a vacation now at time. You can't make her work all the time. It's not like, you know, if you work on Shabbos, you'll get more out of them. This woman's going to do a certain amount of work, and she'll take vacation. She'll take vacation on Shabbos, so she takes vacation on Sunday. She wants vacation on Sunday because she wants to go to church. So you can let her work on Shabbos and have vacation on Sunday because it's not called malachas. There's also vacation time built in to the working relationship. Okay. Seder. I saw Rav Moshe quoted saying that if you have a worker that you pay by the hour, and you have a business, you have a store, he wants to go in on Shabbos, I take the Atzmo. He would rather, it's easier for him, you know, he has to work 30 hours a week, 40 hours a week, whatever it is. So he wants to go in on Shabbos when the store's closed to take care of his own work. So the mutter, that's what they quote Rav Moshe saying. And that's a big chiddush to me. He's going to go into your store on Shabbos and do his work, because he's working like a kavlan. A kavlan's work is paid for the job. So this Jew, this guy is working by the hour. But there's some things he has to do. So it's like in the bidin, it's like bidin kavlan. He can go into the office and do things, because even though you're paying him by the hour, he wants to take some of the hours and work on Saturday, because he wants to leave Monday early. So he's going to work a little extra on Saturday. And the store is closed. Nobody. It doesn't look like it's opened. He just has a key. He goes in. He does his stuff. So then, even though he's a sachir, he's working like a kavlan. So then, Rabbi Mutter. That's what they quote Rav Moshe saying. Well, it's a chiddush. I'm not even sure why. Like I said, a live-in person is considered a kavlan. To me, it seems like a sachir. Just you pay them, you know, by giving them room and board.
Some of them also have a salary on top of it.
Right. So and therefore what? If there's a salary, therefore it's more of a kavlan, or?
Would they make more of a kavlan if they get a monthly salary?
A kavlan gets paid for the job. What's the job here? The job is to take care of the house. What's your job? To be available to take care of the house. Or they say, no, I'm paying you by the, like in your both ways. Okay, the Shulchan Aruch here in Sifvav has an interesting heter. Yehudi shekone meches umaskir lo enu Yehudi lekavel meches b'Shabbos. A Jew bought the rights to collect the tax. To get those rights, you have to pay a lot of money. Now you want to collect the tax. If you only collect the tax 6 days a week, you're not going to get enough profit. So you want to collect the tax 7 days a week. So what do? You hire a goy to collect the tax on Shabbos. Mutarim hu kibolis. You can tell the guy, you're not going to pay him by the hour. You're going to say, listen, you're going to work on commission. You're going to work on Shabbos. You'll collect, for every $100 you collect, I'll give you $10. So you can do the Mechatchila, set this up this way, that you're renting. You're subletting, if you will.
Lots of different from the war, from last year.
Right. In Yehudi yikach ha-revach shal Shabbos ha-azmo v'lecheshinan sheyomru l'tzorach Yisrael hu oseh v'mokim pseida ke'agav n'lechoshu. This is like a hefzer gadol. Yisrael amun al matpeh shal melech. A Jew is paid to mint coins. Dinukin amun al ha-mechas v'afal pi shemeshmin kol v'shabbos v'akav etpeh. So you can have the goy mint the coins on Shabbos. During the week, you're the blacksmith, or the minter, whatever it's called, and on Shabbos the goy will do it for you. You can't sit there in the office next to the goy working, because it looks like you're working on Shabbos. And the post can say, well, if you're just there to make sure he doesn't steal, maybe it's mutter, can't be involved. So this is something that's not ideal, but Tzarech Gadol, it seems like it's a hefse meruva, and this heter is on the books. That if hefse gadol, you're allowed to essentially have a goy work with kablanos. It doesn't seem like you're allowed to have him work as a schir yom. If you want to have him work as a schir yom, you'd have to do some type of mechira, like we spoke last week. But to have him work with kablanos, it would be mutter. But this is something that a lot of poskim are uncomfortable with. The Shevet Halevi wants to say that this is only once you're ready. Bought the meches, and now you have to make money back by collecting it. But l'chatchila, if a Jew asks you, can I become a tax collector, and I'm going to have somebody work for me on Shabbos collecting tax, you shouldn't tell him no. You shouldn't do it. So some poskim hold that way. Other poskim say no. It's mutter. It's mutter. It's mutter. Even if you have some ruv, it doesn't mean only once you're in a pickle and you're stuck. But if you want to make money, so what do you do? Not everybody's going to be a rosh kaidel. So some people have to work. So you want to, this is the way you want to work. You want to become a tax collector. So be mutter. It's a matzav hefsegadol. So that is one perspective that it is mutter, but it's something that we try away from. It's the mice we rely on when you need it, but the Muslims speak about how it's better to avoid this type of the Seder.